YouTube, like the app YouTube, is strange. It'll go in these spurts where it'll give me like wrestling stuff. Like, it's not giving me AAA suggestions anymore.
Oh.
So I have to go down and see the new show. Like, it used to give me Impact suggestions all the time, even though I subscribed to their station, you know.
Oh, right.
So, but it's, I don't know, I think maybe I need to clear out my history or something, so I get my stuff back, because I got some bizarro shit in there, just from, okay. So, for example, have you ever heard the song Run Like the Wind by Christopher Cross? It's from the 80s.
No. I mean, I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't really remember it all. As much 80s as we watch, as far as music videos go, I don't feel like we've happened across that one.
Okay. Pretty banger song. Michael McDonald does the backup for it.
No.
You know, it's like a staple of like what everyone considers yacht rock now.
Oh. You know? So yeah.
We got home from somewhere. And, oh, it was last Friday. We got some eating and sat down. And all I wanted to do was watch SmackDown. Well, it was on, like, MTV Classic on YouTube TV or something like that. And it was, like, the metal hour or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, okay. And this band Saxon is playing.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with them. All right, but they're playing this song. I'm like, the hell is this? And I started like going over the words. I'm like, this is that Christopher Cross song. They did a cover of it, and it's horrendous. It's awful. So I texted it around like some of the gym people, like Krista especially, is very much into yacht rock. Like, if you ever see, like, Yacht Rock Review comes around, it's fun. Like, if you know the songs, it's a lot of fun.
No.
So, like, she was all about it, and she goes, what was that? And Brendan goes, Brendan's like, that was terrible. I was like, I cannot believe I'd never heard this version of the song, and I never want to hear it again. And then they followed it with Sepultura. And I was like, what the fuck is this state? Like, what is this? It was the most bizarro, like, metal hour. And then they went into, like, 90s, so, like, Backstreet Boys came on or something like that. And I was like, well, MTV Classic, MTV Classic, I guess is what it's called. All they do is play music videos. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we watched that. We did that for the longest time because, like, Sunday mornings was 80s. And then they move into 90s and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, I know like bands make videos still, but and they get millions of views too, which is just crazy. Because I don't really know anybody who watches videos. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that was the heyday for us.
Yeah, like even the younger crowd that I do know. I don't really hear them talking about videos. I have the one niece likes to go to concerts.
Yeah.
You know, big Spotify fan. But yeah, like I don't feel like she's ever talking to me about the music videos of these things. You know, it's more of a live experience. Vibe.
It's funny though, like there are bands that, and like just bands, artists, whatever you want to say, they put a lot of money into them, and I'm like, why? But then you see the views on them. Somebody's watching this.
Well, like you said, like there are millions of views. Like it's just like, oh my gosh, like that, because that's one where. Oh, just the fact that I think it's wild where with Spotify, there are times where a song's just playing and then there's a music video with it. I'm like, huh? Like, what is this? That's one of those, what is this world kind of moments for me.
Yeah,
like,
I'm like, thank you for killing the battery on my phone. Like, I know you can turn that feature off if you go through the countless settings on, on the app that don't apply to half of anything you want. Yeah, like, that was the most bizarre thing. I think it was a Slipknot one. It wasn't like an old video. It was just like a, like, animation. And it was just the band members, like, fading in and out and, like, swirling through the whole song. And I'm like, is this necessary? Like, which, again, I know you can shut it off, but it just seems kind of silly. But...
Oh, yeah. And even when I do see that there's a music video on, half the time I'm either, A, I was at the gym, so, like, I immediately afterwards, you know, kind of shut down the video feed and just was listening to it in my headphones, or I'm working and I'm not really paying attention either.
Yeah, but again, they're probably getting millions of views, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you're playing the song, but... Yeah, it's like there's just a whole, I don't know. We always, you know, you always say like how big the world is, because it is.
Uh-oh.
One big flat piece of earth. And it's just bizarre, like even in your own area, say 20-mile area, how different things are from like from the outskirts to where you are. Or like the outskirts of the center, or for like one outskirt to the next outskirt, how different everything is. Ugh. And that's just like a little 20-mile microcosm, a radius, if you will. And then you apply that to the whole state, or the county, then the state, then the country, and it's like, there's so much, I don't know if you want to call it diversity, but there's so many weird, different things that you don't know about. And like, in this case, I guess, like, millions of video views, okay. But my example is going to, we were at this brewery Saturday. The one, I had to apologize because it's just, I have a habit of doing this. So I don't mean anything. But she starts singing the song and I was like, oh, what is this? And Lisa goes, this is Taylor Swift. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because she's in my rotation. I have no idea who this chick is. I heard my first Taylor Swift song a year ago. I can't even tell you what it was, and then I couldn't tell you what this song was. That this lady is selling out stadiums, and I've heard two of her songs.
Like, yeah.
How is that possible? If you're that popular, how is, like... But yeah, so what I felt bad.
Yeah, because, I have no idea because every year they do like some big country show at Ohio Stadium during the summer, and I'm like, got no idea. Like, and you know they're selling the horseshoe out. Like they're doing a like 100,000 or you know whatever number people fit in there for a concert. You know, it's just like I got no idea who this guy is.
So we went to see Big Jay Oakerson at the Comedy Zone and told my friend Brent, hey, watch it. There's a country concert. And he goes, there is? I was like, yeah, it's at the amphitheater, so watch it for parking. He goes, who's playing? I go, Cody Jenks. And I was like, yes, it sounds like a Scooby-Doo name. I know. I just – this guy, like, he has – some of his songs have over 170 – million listens. I've never heard of this guy, and yet he sold out the amphitheater two nights in a row. It's like, the country is just the weirdest thing to me anyways. Because we used to hate it because it sucked. It was like, this is stupid, this thing about your dog, whatever else, right?
Yeah.
And as you get older, that old country, you're like, oh, this ain't so bad, actually. Like, I guess you have to be mature to understand it. I don't see that happening with this new stuff.
Oh.
This new stuff is shit.
I guess I don't mind the stuff that the wife listens to.
I hate it.
But also, I don't think she listens to that much modern country either, though. I do feel like it's probably a little more marginally recent than the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, like, this Cody Jenks guy was fine. I'm like, this is boring shit. And it's always the rules. Something about the flag, something about the troops, something about beer, jeans, truck or some sort of automobile. Of course, a girl. And then there was one song that actually had it in the very first chorus. And I was like, holy shit, this guy just shot his wad to start the song? But yeah, no, that stuff is just nonsense. And it's not even country. It's like, that Hardy guy is supposedly country. Did you know that?
Yeah. That's why it was kind of weird why he decided to go metal or rap rock, whatever you wanted to call what he was trying to do in the WWE.
That's what he does.
Oh my God.
That's considered country.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at.
I am completely confused now, but
yes.
Okay.
I don't know what country is, but I know what the stuff they say is country is shit. But yet they sell out PNC Amphitheater here, like 20,000 people every act that comes in here.
And two nights for some of them.
Oh, no, Cody Jenks was at the one that seats 7,500.
Oh, so okay.
It took him 2 days to sell 15,000.
Oh.
And Cody Jenks does not look like what you think he looks like. He looks like Merle Haggard, or not Merle Haggard. Who's Charlie Daniels? Like skinny Charlie Daniels.
That's a long time ago.
Exactly. But he's not like the clean cut guy. Or I guess Chris Stapleton's got like long hair and a long beard and stuff. He kind of reminds me of Chris Stapleton.
No, okay.
Who's not terrible. I just can't get into it. But yeah, it's just whatever. But again, there's a whole big world out there. So there's all these people in my area. I'm like, I don't understand who you're listening to. Just like the 300 people Big J just played to, no one knows who Big J is.
No.
It's just so weird how everything's segmented. Like, I don't know.
I guess I'm not surprised, like you said, like, even when you're into something, it's easy to miss something. You kind of mentioned it at the beginning there. I had no idea that Impact was in town.
Exactly.
Especially for, like, a pay-per-view, nonetheless. Like, I know that I don't really watch, haven't really watched in a long time, but... Really, like, it didn't come up on my Instagram feed or something, or even on Twitter. You would have thought that I follow enough Impact people that I might have seen a mention of the fact that they're in Columbus both Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
For a pay-per-view, and then I guess the shows afterwards or the next day.
Mm-hmm. You would have thought Sami Callihan would have promoted the event when he was the celebrity for the crew game.
Well, you might not have seen it, but I did enjoy the fact that there have been some celebrities that were, you know, known people, maybe is a better way of putting it.
Still stretching.
Well, like, they've had former players come on, and they just have, to me, they don't have any enthusiasm. He definitely brought the wrestling gusto to his lighting of the fireworks and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. You sent me that video, right? Or was it on...
I just sent a picture of it. I did send you the clip from Instagram.
Okay, that was it, yeah.
From the Columbus crew itself. Because, yeah, there are some people I'm just like, why do you even have this person out there? Like, he was trying to get the crowd pumped up and, you know, doing the whole, you know, arm waving. And he did grab the crew flag and start throwing it around because I don't think that was part of the clip. And, you know, it's just like, hey, that was way better than some of these other people I've seen. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, because, I mean, they've done a lot of soccer players. Because, like, a couple of the national players for the women's team are from Ohio, and they had one here one of those days. And it was just, like, so underwhelmed to be doing that, it seemed like. At least Sammy was into it. I will give him a lot of credit for that. D minus in the effort to find a jersey large enough for him.
See, I was avoiding all that.
Well, I was waiting for you to bring it up.
I don't know. It's one of those, like, I have nothing positive to say things, so don't say it. But at the same time, like, he's one of the most off-putting wrestlers I've ever seen. There's nothing fundamentally wrong about his work, his promos, any of that stuff. I just hate everything about him. I don't like his look. I don't like his voice. I don't like his catchphrases. I don't like what he does in the ring. He could be a sweetheart of a man. I have no idea. But everything I see, I can't stand it. And he's a featured player on Impact again, and it's like, oh, God, no. There's just those people in life. And then, like, in the entertainment field, yeah, there's plenty of them, and he just happens to be one. And, I just, every time he's on, I'm like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, like, I always laugh, like, A, it's kind of surprising that no one else had called themselves the draw prior to that. But I just always went, but you're not really a draw.
Wait a minute, he's calling himself the draw?
Oh my gosh, that's been years now. Like, when I went to go see them in Vegas, which was like 5 years ago, he was calling himself the draw.
I don't think recently he's been calling himself that. I don't. Again, I lost access, so I might.
Well, that's it. They actually called him that at the crew game.
That's got to be irony. That's got to be like a bad guy thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I mean, he is a bad guy all the time. Well, it seems like he's a bad guy most of the time.
I think he's a good guy right now.
Well, oh, well, that's interesting.
But, yeah, I just, it's just one of those things, man. And no matter what, I just don't like it. Just don't. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he just kind of is a little off-putting for me too. Like, definitely not my favorite. And
him wearing a size medium shirt for the soccer game didn't help. That was the first thing I saw. I was like, did somebody not prepare this man? That's some bullshit. Like, it's like putting Shaq in an extra large. Here you go, buddy. He's like, sure. Sure, you don't have another shirt that fits. And, like, we shouldn't be making triple extra large soccer jerseys.
For someone who's 5'6".
Oh, speaking of bullshit heights, we're recording, right?
Oh yeah, we've been recording okay. For a while.
Did you know they try and bill Adam Cole as 6 foot tall?
I missed that part.
So last night. On AEW, they had that back and forth with MJF and Adam Cole, right?
Yeah.
And MJF, and Cole's right, he's taking all the low-hanging fruit. But then again, you're also looking at Adam Cole. Now, injury or not, he was shrinking in NXT when everybody else was getting cut.
Oh.
So he bucked the trend of getting in better shape in NXT.
Yeah. And he's continued to buck the trend in AEW.
Yeah, at least now he's got, like, he had the excuse of the concussion and this. Like, a legitimate excuse, you know?
Oh, right.
If you say excuse, it always sounds like someone's just making something up.
The stigma around the word excuse drives me bananas occasionally. Yeah. Because, yeah, there are certain times where it's just like, yeah, that's what happens. Like, when I broke my wrist and I had to, you know, not do rehab, but it was not the same afterwards. Like, I had to rebuild up my strength. Like, that's an excuse. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just kind of what happens.
Yeah. So, well, you're just making excuses. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, technically, yes. You're right.
Yeah, moving along here then.
Yeah. But anyways. But no, but it really is, like, he had that concussion. It's hard to do stuff. I get it, right? But then, what's...
Why do they have all of these, oh, he's on the comeback trail, look at me training videos?
For what? Like, OK, Okay, I met Adam Cole. Super nice guy. And it's really funny. It's like two things in a row, body shaming somebody, but whatever. And but it's also an aesthetics business. So at least Sami Callihan can get away with looking the way he does because he's a bad guy most of the time. He's supposed to be off-putting. You're not supposed to like him.
Adam Cole's
different. He's supposed to be, as MJF pointed out, the Panama City playboy. And, you know, he does have, like, a handsome face, and he also has a real dickhead face when he wants to.
Oh.
When he wants to scrunch his face up and be a bad guy, it's convincing. When he wants to go soft and be a good guy, it works. It just does.
Yeah.
Well, but when he was like, you know, Vince is like, yeah, we don't see you as a main guy, it's like, it's hard to look at him like that and go, no, you're wrong. Because when I met him, he was already kind of small. Dude, I mean, I'm not any different from the last time you saw me. I tower over him. Like, I'm huge compared to him. We saw the picture of the two of us together.
Oh, yeah.
So, and again, God, that sounds like bragging, by the way, but you know what I mean. And it's like, I'm more impressive physically than you are, but yet you're paid for the aesthetics of being better looking than me. Like, who are you picking in a fight as your partner? Me or Adam Cole?
Not Adam Cole.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, and I know, like, Adam Cole picks all those low-hanging fruit, whatever. It's like, but dude, do some CrossFit. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But
yeah, like, he looks like he works out less than FTR. We're going to continue down this road.
Those FTR dudes, if they laid off the carbs, they may be pretty built.
They'd probably be ripped if they laid off the carbs.
Yeah, but again, it just kind of fits them because they're, you know, they were the revival, so.
Yeah, they are what they are. Like that.
Yeah. Just caught me off guard with that one, so I was taking a sip. So I was like, oh, shit.
But yeah, I
so you remember when Triple H called CM Punk skinny fat?
Yeah. That's what Adam Cole is.
Yeah, that would technically be, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if the sheen's worn off Adam Cole with the way he's been used in AEW. And then, of course, being out for injury doesn't help.
No, but it's another one where it's a feud to me with MJF where he's still early enough in his run that if you really want to make him legitimate, he needs the win. But then that puts Adam Cole in the terrible position that he's lost like every important, like he hasn't had that many important matches in AEW, but he's pretty much lost all of his important matches in AEW.
Yes. Yeah, he lost the Hangman feud.
Yeah.
Didn't he lose Orange Cassidy, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like, that's kind of one of my bigger problems just with the whole angle. I'm like, there isn't really a winner coming out of this one. Again, like, MJF is, again, in a feud where he is going to come out not any better than when he went in.
Yeah, like, I know, there were, like, talks or whatever about him saying that, you know, everybody in that Four Corners match came out better. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Like, Sammy Guevara's not even on TV.
And hasn't been now for 2 weeks?
Yeah. Darby is
still Darby.
He's still Darby, so he was going to come out fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy is in a tag team with Hook, which, boy, are they teasing that turn. Jungle Boy cannot stop holding a chair after a match. he even put both hands on the legs. He was holding it with one hand, and he put both hands on the bottom of the legs. I'm like, oh, they're pulling that trigger right now? Like, okay. I thought they were going to build it up or something. But they are. I mean, mean, is it just me? But it seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, it does seem obvious. I guess I didn't notice it as much this week. Last week, you could definitely tell that it was just like, oh my gosh, like, just go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, man. This week, he's parading around the ring. He's got that chair, and he just grabs it with two hands, and it's like, oh, all right. And then he threw it. And he threw it down. So it's, I like this, by the way. I think it's pretty cool and subtle. Like, you know, you keep thinking, what's he doing with that? But at the same time, that's us. Like, maybe just watching it, you're like, oh, okay. Because there's no reason for him to turn on Hook at all right now.
Oh, no.
So.
No, that's why, like, people brought it up, and I'm like, well, I guess it'd kind of be a good thing for him. Like, he's the one that needs, because, I don't know. Sammy Guevara as a babyface just seems wrong to me.
He was a babyface for the longest time. You know when not Jericho Appreciation, the Inner Circle turned face?
Oh, whatever. Yeah. And he did kind of work okay as a baby face then.
Yeah. But then when him and Ty Mello got together, that's when everyone started booing him.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a whole different discussion that... oh, man.
What discussion?
The ladies throwing off any women, both women's divisions.
Hey, listen, at least the TBS title was actually on TV and was competed for.
Oh my gosh. That was something this week that I'm like, I feel like Chris Statlander now has as many defenses on Dynamite as Jade Cargill did.
I think she's probably three behind. Out of all of her 60 matches or whatever she had, I think she's about three behind.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be fine with another three for Statlander to catch up to her.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right, though. It's just like, oh.
It's, consecutive weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, everyone started it last week. What is the whole welcome home, mama, or I'm home?
I don't know.
Everyone's kind of creating it, treating it like it's something kind of interesting, but I'm like, I have no idea why she's doing sign language and why mama's supposed to be home. Like, I don't get what's going on here, guys. Like, help me out. Like, I watch you all of the time. Like, why do I have just absolutely no clue? Like, I feel like they've actually done a pretty decent job with her character of establishing it a little bit, because she had that sit-down part interview last week. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of get into, get into her, and, like, I'm a little more invested in her right now than... any of the other times you've had her on there acting like an alien or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still don't, like, yeah, that's, if that's going to be a big part of her character, we need to know why. But otherwise, I mean, they are already doing a better job with her than Jade Cargill.
Yeah. And I guess there's a danger, because isn't that always kind of the problem with these streaks? You know, like, you know it's not going to end at 20. So it was always going to keep going on and just waiting for the right person. And, I mean, I guess Statlander was the right person, but it also just seemed weird to me that this was her third chance or something, and that she was hurt and came back, and okay,
like, and whatever. And she gets it after another match.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
And then that's the other one where the thing that also makes it weird is that Jade Cargill, not even on Rampage.
They do that, man. When you lose the title, you're gone. I mean, the Ass Boys just showed up for the first time since losing the titles, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, what, where did they show up? My memory's fuzzy on this. Who'd they attack?
The main event there. They helped out Switchblade Jay White.
That's right. That's right. Now, to me, that was kind of intriguing. Like, wait a minute. What just happened here? Like, I know it's the Ass Boys, but still. I was like, well, this is different.
The Ass Boys not getting back together with their dad is great. Because I did kind of feel like they were teasing Billy Gunn going back to his sons. There's no reason for him to be in that group, though, if they're going to continue to, I would assume, call it Bullet Club Gold and have the Gun Club in there, exactly. Along with Rock Hard Juice Robinson and Switchblade Jay White.
Falling Star Juice Robinson. Well, I know we talked about it, but it's still, I just see that going, he was on top of the world for a while. Like, oh, boy. But anyways, so yeah. But no, Statlander is like a little breath of fresh air because she's just wrestling. And to Jay Cargill's defense as well, she was just wrestling. Like, there were storylines or angles or whatever, but Statlander's there just wrestling. Unlike Toni Storm, who didn't wrestle, and it has that goofy-ass, what's the stupid thing, the Originals and the Outsiders or
yeah,
whatever.
That, yeah. Because she had another promo this week, but of course I'm still just this week I'm sitting there going, well, A, at least she did the heavy lifting again, so we will lead off with that since it's AEW. But the other thing that was weird, I'm just sitting there going, why is Saraya not around right now? Like, why is it only two of the three in the trio here?
Yep.
And not the one that's supposed to be kind of the, you know, at least with them, it kind of feels like I was going to go with an A-team reference, but I don't think that's right per se. Because I was trying to equate Saraya to Hannibal and maybe Toni Storm's face or something like that. Like the clear. But I'm not sure if that analogy works. I definitely don't know Charlie's Angels well enough to try and pull out that reference.
No, that doesn't work at all, actually.
But, I feel like they have defined, like, it seems like they kind of have semi-defined roles, and it does feel like, you know, Toni Storm is definitely the wrestler, I guess, out of the group, and that, you know, Saraya is still more of the figurehead leader of the pack because of kind of her longer reign of fame. So, you know, yeah, I guess I just feel like they kind of have defined paths, and I think that that's not a, or that that's a good thing, but it also made Saraya being absent seem weirder, because it's just like, hold on, where's, like, the leader person? Even if they're not going to talk the most, like, they need to be around.
Yeah, I really hate, like, maybe she's hurt again. Maybe she has to be out. She did have that mixed tag team match, last week, right?
Yeah, last week.
All right. It's got to be addressed why she's not there if you're in a trio. Like, if you're the Four Horsemen and you come out and it's just Rick, Arn, and Barry Windham. And they're like, where the hell's Tully? And they're like, who? Or like, they don't acknowledge it. And it's just like, the crowd's like, where the hell's Tully Blanchard at?
Yeah, there needs to be some excuse of why that person is not present.
And it doesn't have to be elaborate. No. Just say Saraya's not at the building today. She'll be back next week.
I don't even care if you go with the generic travel problems.
Like, yeah.
Just it does not need to be mind-blowingly complicated.
Or even play into the match from last week and be like, you know, Saraya's not here because
no.
of the cheating ways of Britt Baker. You know, just put it on how she got cheated, right?
Yeah.
Just, and that goes for everybody, by the way. I can't stand when someone just disappears. I'm not saying, you know, I want to know every single week where they're at. That's not the case. But for the first week or two, if they were in a storyline, or if they were one of your top people, you should be telling the crowd, hey, they will not be here.
No.
So that, and really, if you want, use that and build a story out of it so that someday when you keep telling a wrestler's not going to be there and they show up, it is a legit surprise. There's different ways of working this stuff.
Yeah. And it does not seem like wrestling likes to work that way a lot.
No, it doesn't. Well, you don't want to promote somebody that's not going to be on your TV, right? That's the thought.
Right.
Well, what's better? Like, hey, they're not going to be here because they're hurt, so you don't forget about them? Or just go, nothing. Just, never mind, they never existed.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, you know, again, to go with, like, the sports analogy, it's just like, I guess it's like, oh yeah. So why is T.J. Watt not in for the Steelers on defense? Oh, no reason. Like, huh?
He's just not there.
He's just not here. Like, yeah. You're not giving us any explanation.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, good call, by the way.
And it's just
that happened in sports.
Yeah, and it's kind of acknowledged. Like, again, like, do they dwell on that all game? No. Do they go, maybe when the pass rush isn't hitting home, oh, that'd really help out if they had TJ Watt right now. Like, it doesn't hurt it really would not hurt the product for them to admit injuries, or at least, because every now and again you'll get a little bit of a timeline. But the other problem is that it is kind of easy. Like, Cody Rhodes, to me, was one of the few examples, and especially since it was recently, that you're just like, oh, okay, like, they kept him off TV for a little bit, but then they started to build him back up. And you know, like, he came on and made, like, the Survivor Series picks or whatever it was that he did. And, you know, like, they had him pop in here and there just enough to keep him on your radar. And it's just like, yeah, you don't need to acknowledge them all the time. Like, that was where, like, Chris mentioned it to me on the other show. Where he's like, oh, what's his name? Braun Strowman has neck problems. And I'm just like, I had no idea.
Okay.
Had no idea.
That's a great, because I know we were focused on AEW doing it. WWE's criminally bad at it.
Oh, yes.
In the middle of feuds, people will disappear. And you're like, well, where'd they go? And then they'll be like, oh, AJ Styles with an ankle injury. Oh, can you believe Seth Rollins? Like, wait, what did he just say? Braun is a perfect example. Him and Ricochet are a tag team. Didn't they get drafted to Raw together as a tag team, right?
Yes.
Ricochet's out there by himself. No mention of Braun Strowman.
None.
A guy who was getting, and I don't care what you feel about this man, getting monster pops.
Yeah.
Selling merch.
Yeah.
And he disappears. They're like, oh, yeah. Wow, Omos is pretty big. Like, when he's on TV. Yeah, I've always hated that.
Yeah.
It's not the old days. So it's time to get with it. And again, just like you said, don't dwell. Don't address it all the time. Jesus
yeah.
Christ. It's not
yeah.
hard.
It doesn't need to be an every week. Oh, like, they could walk more in their rehab. Like, no. Like, oh my God. No, please. Thank you.
Yeah, like, Cody, at least everyone knows why he was gone. You know?
Oh. Yes, because so, everyone was horrified by the yeah. injury to start
so
with.
So Cody disappearing is kind of okay. You know what's going on.
Yeah, these other people just tend to just just disappear. And it's just like, well, what happened here, guys? Like, I, you know, and because who did that start with? Because it was someone on AEW that's just disappeared because they... Oh, well, I don't think...
There's plenty of people that just disappeared. From a week, like...
Well, I was trying to think of injuries specifically recently, but...
Well, they said... All right, so when Kenny Omega left, he did say he had the... Like, that was on AEW, right?
I do not remember it being on AEW. Okay. All
right, because I can't remember if that was on AEW or if it was... Oh, no. It was on AEW.
Oh, was
because
it?
Because Adam Cole was there. And he was talking to the Bucks, not Adam Cole. That was the whole thing. So, trying to think, somebody else who got hurt and just disappeared.
Yeah, because I know, well, I don't think Jade Cargill is injured. Okay. Because I'm trying to think of how we kind of got to that topic with it.
I don't know. It's just one of those organic ones where things are just going.
Yep.
I mean, Miro got hurt, disappeared. We saw him 3 weeks ago walking into an office, and that's the end.
Same thing with Thunder Rosa.
Yes, Thunder Rosa. But they at least she was highlighted on that other show. You know?
Rampage?
No. What's that goofy behind the scenes show?
Yeah.
So you at least get like...
Yeah, if you watch AEW programming, there was something there at least.
But... I'm trying to think. Oh, well, she's not injured, but what the hell happened to Rebel?
Oh.
You know, just gone. Don't worry about it. Jake Roberts, Lance Archer, don't worry about it. Like, so many people just disappear. It's impossible.
It all started with the Gun Club disappearing and then reappearing. Yeah, yeah. And then, because who else was... who else is in that position right now? Oh, God damn it. Okay, never mind. I'm just wrecking the show by trying to get back to that point.
That's all right. AEW does not know how to shuffle their talent correctly. It's a fact. And I don't care. You can make arguments for all the stuff. The ratings, not exactly terrible, you know, for that show. But they're not doing what they're supposed to. And also, their like, ticket sales are not good.
Yeah.
Like, lost in all of the hoopla over at Wembley. I mean, there's, like, one of the Rampage, I think it's a Dynamite. The Dynamite or Rampage on this tour of Canada. They've only sold 1,000 tickets.
And that was something that was another one where this week they started doing the pre-sale for for AEW here in Columbus in August. Yeah, August 6th, because it's when I'm not going to, or 9th or something like that, so I'm not actually going to be in town. But I kind of forgot... I believe they played The Shot last time, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, I don't remember.
That is essentially the same size as Nationwide Arena. So, like, going to one or the other is... Nationwide's just nicer because it's newer and has slightly more amenities than a building that was built like 5 years before it, you know, like, are there improvements in the tech and whatnot? Yeah, there are little ones, but it's not by that much. And seating capacity wise, they're like 500 seats apart or something like that. Like
where did we see King of the Ring at? Was that Nationwide?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because I thought the sight lines, weren't we at, like, the top of the arena?
We were pretty up there.
Didn't know it. Like, keep walking. Yeah, but we were also dead center, so that was
pretty yes. Yeah, for as high up as we are, we ended up with a fairly nice vantage point.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. But
yeah, so they're going to nationwide, and I was like, oh, that'd be, oh crap, I can't go. I mean, I did have that moment, but I was also just like, well, if they just did the shot, like, it's a little bit of a lateral move in a way. It's like, they kind of were making a big deal of it because it's the first time they're doing Nationwide Arena, but then I was also like, well, okay. Like, again, there's like two arenas that are essentially the same size in town, so it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Play one, play the other. I don't really care. And I guess I'll be interested. Like, I remember the shot looking, you know, it's definitely one of those situations where the upper deck was not available for sale.
I mean,
and honestly, like the WWE hadn't done that for a while at Nationwide, or maybe they had done it just on the hard, opposite the hard camera side, so that it looks like there's two full decks, but there's really not. So they might have been pulling those types of situations. At least from reports, they actually sold out Nationwide Arena recently. The most recent SmackDown that Josh went to.
WWE's selling tickets, man. I mean, I don't know about all these crowd reactions being as loud as they are, with how dishonest they are with that audio sweetener, but the crowds are showing up.
They definitely look more, even if there is still sweetening going on, they look like they're reacting to stuff more. And plus, what was it? I think it was NXT this week, where it was, I can't remember if it was NXT or Raw, where someone was trying to get a This Is Awesome chant going, and it just died.
That had to have been NXT, because there was nothing awesome on NXT.
I was just dying.
Like, Trick and Corbin was good. I mean, it was, well, like, I almost said it was good for a Corbin match, but his problem is not in the ring. So, I mean,
that man can host a cooking show anytime he wants to. Do not understand what happens when he gets a microphone in a wrestling ring.
Just, I didn't think his promo was that bad this week. You know, there seemed to be some venom behind it.
Yeah.
But overall, I what did I send you? Like, it's good to see he's wearing his rec league basketball uniform. Like, what's that? What are you wearing? Like, the whole presentation's goofy. His name's Baron Corbin. That music is goofy as hell.
It made way more sense when he was the rich guy gimmick.
Yeah. Or just happy Corbin, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
he desperately needs new music.
I don't, but it's like, all right, why are you going to invest? And it's,
oh,
it's, I don't know, man. There's something just missing with him. And,
oh,
I don't know if it's like the old, well, you don't believe in yourself, or you don't believe in the character, or whatever. And it's like, well, I guess not. I mean, but then the match he's in is good. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to, A, have these free agents that you can float a little bit and help teach the younger crew.
Yeah. Well, especially Corbin.
Yeah.
So,
because Corbin really has kind of been there, done that. Like, I mean, other than actually capturing a world championship, the man does have a lot of accolades on the list, so.
Yeah. I mean, and I was telling her, Baron Corbin is legit. What is it? Golden Glove?
Yeah, Golden Glove.
Yeah, he's a legit boxer.
Yes.
Who's like the most unintimidating person possible in WWE. Who's supposed to be a tough guy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and he was an offensive lineman, and you're like, like, I know that offensive linemen can lose weight after they get out, but again, he's another one where it's just like, do you work out, or did you just like lose all the weight from being a lineman and just said, yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He's a big dude, but I mean, maybe go to NXT, he's going to get the NXT diet and come back better. You know, I don't know. There's just something missing.
Yeah, he just seems to have plateaued at where he's going to be.
Although, I was intrigued with him and Ilya Dragunov. I was like, oh, I don't think I'd mind seeing that. So, can we get on that real quick? That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's not an in-ring problem. And Dragunov is just like one of those guys that completely comes off like a psychopath.
Which is what I think may be good. So, who's Corbin been in the ring with? Roman Reigns, which he made mention that he was the last guy that pinned him. But, like, who have been his feuds? Drew McIntyre or Sheamus?
Honestly, I can't remember like all that much of a memorable feud for him.
Okay.
Because even the fact that the man retired Kurt Angle, I'm like, how do you not remember that that happened?
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Because it was garbage, that's why. Like, yeah. Everyone saw what it was at face value, like, this is shit.
Oh, and yeah.
Just forget it. Because no one wanted to see Kurt lose to him, and they did it anyway. It's like, really?
Because was it Roman Reigns that kicked out of the Deep Six, or was it someone else?
I don't remember.
Because I just remember that being one of those oh my gosh moments where someone was like, oh, this is the first time someone's kicked out of that move, and it's just like, hold on, why the fuck did they protect Baron Corbin's move this much?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I can't remember when that happened, but it's been long enough ago. It's just like, oh my gosh, like that was a thing about Baron Corbin. And yeah, Roman Reigns might not have even kicked out of that. How wild is that?
Yeah. But it's like, get him in the ring with some guys who are going to be hosses. And see what he can do. See if he can adapt his style to give back. With these guys like Sheamus.
Oh, Gunther, well.
And Dragunov will do the same thing. Don't be fooled. He's about as tall as Adam Cole is. But look who looks like a legitimate badass. You wouldn't want to cross Dragunov. Cole, you'd be like, pat him on the head and send him along his way.
Well, like I said, like, Dragunov just comes off, like, I can at least see part of me in him where it's just like, whatever with the pain thing, guys. Like, I'm just going to work through this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's fine. Like, do whatever to me. Like, I'm just going to bounce back and keep on coming after you like a rabid animal. It's just like, okay then. And he's presented that way in the ring too. Like, A, it's hard for him not to be the smaller guy in the match. And yeah, what? His feature matches, honestly, I know that I haven't seen the NXT UK version, but the first match I see is him and Gunther, you know, on regular NXT premium live event or pay-per-view, whatever it was at the time. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy is awesome. Like,
the first one is he just, like, Gunther just beat him. Like, legitimately just beat him down until he had no strength to kick out. It wasn't, like, a fancy powerbomb. It wasn't, like, a big move. It was just Gunther just kept beating on him. He tried to pin him. Kept beating on him. Tried to pin him. Kept beating on him. He finally got him. That was the first one. And, like, I'm paraphrasing a lot of it.
Yeah, for like a 30 minute match.
Yes. All those two did was beat on each other, and Gunther just kept beating him down until he just physically couldn't get up. Like, that's awesome. I mean, especially when you're taking on a guy of that size.
Yeah.
Because Gunther was much bigger when he was Walter. So,
oh.
Big boy.
Yeah, and well, yeah, just because Dragunov has played well off of the larger opponents, because him and Dijak had a great match. Like, Dijak hasn't had a whole lot of great matches in the WWE. You know, like, I remember seeing him with a lot of promise in ROH, and that's longer ago than I probably want to know at this juncture. Like, it's probably been 5 or 6 years. And, you know, it just never, there's definitely been some, I've had bad gimmicks excuses. This most recent one, though, at least it fits in this, it is one of the most enjoyable parts of NXT, just the batshit crazy universe that they live in.
Oh, God.
Because I know that I texted you about it, but it's hilarious to talk about. The wife is not all that aware of what Tony D'Angelo is doing. And the fact that he had a prison conversation, the look on her face was priceless. And I thought it was funny without the look on her face. B, that just added to it. Like, I'm just like, he's the Don of NXT. Like, he got caught doing some hub stuff. Like,
okay, so this is why I enjoyed it so much. It's stupid. They have office phones, which every movie you see, they're not like that, but whatever, right? And this is like, it's the greater scope of NXT. You've got your real stuff, like Dragunov on to beat up Corbin, right?
Yeah.
And then you go to this fantasy world where all these, like, different fantasy things are happening interspersed with reality. And it's like, this show is psycho. I mean...
well, so, I don't know. I mean, you don't really need to go that far back with Dragunov kind of being on the psycho show. The fact that he gave himself up to be interrogated and tortured by Dijak is pretty wacky.
But that's the bizarro stuff. They've got the backstage stuff where they're fighting, right? Like, Dijak attacks him, he attacks Dijak, right? And then he's like, gives himself up, like, what? Like, you have this reality thing, then they go to fantasy, then reality. Which, like, the show was not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be like, Tony D stuff is all fantasy. Or whatever you want to call it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they're doing this stuff, he's like, oh, Knuckles is there? You know, isn't that the guy that did that? He's like, hey. Huh. He's like, all right. Did you find out who the rat is? Wait a second, stupid. You don't say that because you're basically saying you did something.
Yeah, Tony D'Angelo needs to follow his own set of rules before shining his right-hand man.
He called Stax the underboss on a prison phone. It's like, no, we're not the mafia. I'm just the Don. He's the underboss. Oh, shit. Sorry. It's just nicknames. We like to role play. Yeah, that whole
thing. Yeah, that's what they call it at the office.
Yeah.
I have to report to my underboss.
Yeah, but I just love, like, all the Sopranos, like, mafia gangster movie references they keep putting in there. And then, like, the guards are like, hey, Mr. D'Angelo, time's up. Like, Mr. D'Angelo.
Oh,
he's already paid the guards off.
Well, I mean, I guess you kind of knew that, considering that he started the whole conversation off mentioning that he had a subscription to Peacock.
Peacock, yes. I mean, let's not forget they just had an advertisement for Peacock during this segment. Like, it's so stupid. As soon as you said it, I just started laughing. Like, this is dumb. This has got to have Jeremy Borash all over this. It has to. It's just...
Oh, man. Yeah, I was in tears when he said that. Yeah, just like, oh, my gosh. So over-the-top ridiculous.
They've just leaned into it, and we're like, you're either in or you're out. And it's fine. Like, I prefer that.
Yeah.
like the one that's not quite working so far is the Nathan Frazier thing, which is clearly like whatever that I can't remember John Oliver's show's name off the bat.
I will say that I am enjoying those segments. Like, it's one of those ones where I'm like, oh, I kind of know who Nathan Frazier is. He's just this smart ass who.
And then they pulled in Dragon Lee. Like, this is your big free agent signing? Doing this stuff?
I am 100% confused by Dragon. What is happening to Dragon Lee currently? I mean, although I did like him in that segment. Like, that was another one where I'm like, okay, this guy kind of has something else other than just, like, the, you know, it. Yeah, it's proving that you have more than just the in-ring stuff. Like, I've seen already more than enough great Dragon Lee matches in Ring of Honor. Like, just before he even left there, like, I saw a bunch of great matches from him. So, like, is the WWE really going to improve that part of his presentation? I don't think so. Maybe give him a little more, a little less lucha structure. Because both of us kind of don't really like that. But I mean, like, how he wrestles and what he does, like, yeah, you're not really going to change that all that much. Give him a character, though, because, like, I have no idea what, you know, again, like, that's one where no matter what I liked about his matches in ROH, I couldn't tell you what his character was other than Dragon Lee. You know, like, and that's not really going to cut it. Like, that isn't what makes people invest that much time and effort into something. Like, you need more than just a name and a good skill set.
Yeah, it's like, anytime they do this sort of stuff, like, it's an international superstar, Dragon Lee. And it's like, all right, here he is. Yeah, he's a Mexican guy in a mask. That's it? Like, you're not going to give us anything else? So,
yeah, and that stuff with what's his name didn't solve that with Nathan Frazier. Like, he showed a little more personality, but it also didn't really inform me about his character all that much.
Yeah. It's funny. It's just like who was there's somebody else. Like, if you didn't know Tyler Bate from NXT UK, you have no idea who this guy is. He's just some small dude with long hair and a beard.
Who likes to meditate.
Yeah. And then Wesley, who was the third? Or who was the other person this week? Wasn't there somebody else that was showed up? It was Ali, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So... And then, who did Joe Gacy have a match with?
Oh, I just scrolled past that. Mustafa Ali.
Okay,
yeah.
I knew something was connected there. I'm tired of Schism. I don't know if I've ever said this. I don't like any of this. And the fact that, what's The Rock's daughter's name?
Ava Rain.
Okay, so it is Ava. Okay. Ava headbutts Ivy Nile with that flimsy-ass mask and knocks her out. Get the fuck out of here. We've heard it get put on. We've heard the awful, like, rubber band sound of a balloon when they're putting it over their face. Like, at least show it so that we know it's...
loaded or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, gimmicked up a little bit. Yeah, I like you said, we've seen how flimsy those things are. Like, there is no reason for me to believe that's going to knock out Ivy Nile.
No. Remember when Ivy Nile was a little badass, by the way? And now she's kind of a little badass, but then, like, the more they've let her talk, like, she's softened up a little bit. And it's like, eh. It was a lot cooler when she was just doing, like, pull-ups by her teeth. And, like, chains coming out of her ears and stuff. Like, this bitch is nuts. And now she's like, come on, guys, we gotta be friends. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's one where maybe the character development hasn't quite worked. Like, they have definitely given her character development.
Yeah. Softened her up, which to me is a mistake.
I think you can do that, but it also, it's weird because it detracts away from just the whole, all of them being hard asses.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, Julius is a strong motherfucker too.
That's one where I'm like, I'm going to be shocked if this guy isn't a star.
Yeah, that he really seems, and I don't like saying stuff like this, but you know, I'm losing words. He seems like the second coming, not second coming, but another Kurt Angle. He can talk. He's a badass. He's strong as hell. So what, I mean, what else do we need? You know?
Yeah, not much.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's Julius. All right. Brutus, maybe not so much. But Brutus is just like, he's the younger brother. Like, he's the softer looking one, if you will. His hair is outrageously stupid.
Yeah, he is.
Terrible move.
Yeah, once they, if they ever get rid of the Brutus ball, he will immediately be a better wrestler.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he gets mad, though, it's kind of like, oh, okay, Tubby's getting mad. But he's not. He's just one of those solid dudes.
So, yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, he's a big boy.
Yes. And then when he gets mad, it's like, all right, cool, here we go. And, no, I don't know what the Creeds are doing down there.
Oh.
But.
Yeah. Because they did win the championships, right?
Long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. They have next to nothing to prove.
Yeah. But no, like, but yeah, that show was fine this week for NXT, just whatever.
Yeah, because I'm kind of looking at the other stuff, and I'm like, oh, there really wasn't much here beside that.
Well, Thea Hale won the Battle Royal. Okay. Okay, so if this is, all right, so going back to our other conversation, where is, oh my God, not Harlem Bravado, where's Andre Chase at?
Well, they have kept on, that is one where they have been consistent about him still being out. Because
but
Vic.
They never really said what happened, right?
No.
It's like they don't know his whereabouts?
Correct. Like they're leaving it very vague, and I feel like that's intentional.
Okay.
You know, because, yeah, I remember Vic again mentioning something this week that, you know, he didn't even say recovery or anything like that, but he, you know, he's been out or away for a while or, you know, like, I forget the exact wording that they use, but they have definitely used some very, very vague, vague words to again, like, they're at least acknowledging it and but then moving along, and that's fine.
Yeah,
I did kind of dig the whole student section storming the ring.
Yeah,
to celebrate. I'm just like, okay, I got it. Like, I'm cool with this.
But I missed, when did Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey take over, or why?
Because
did I miss an explanation?
Yeah, it's because Duke didn't want to teach, really. And he's just kind of let them continue to teach for whatever reason.
Okay, so then they did. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he didn't want to teach, but then why did he choose those guys? Like, they're the guys that put the teacher on the show.
I don't know, like, because they invited him, he invited them in for some reason or another to teach a class.
Oh, that's right, they were sparring or something like that, right? And he was like, hey, being way too aggressive with people.
Yeah, and then that kind of led to the classroom setting, and then even the classroom setting, he's just like, "Hey, you're still being a little too harsh here, guys. Like, can you be a little more informative here at least?"
Yeah. Yeah, where the hell were Brooks and Jensen this week too?
They had their didn't they have their scene with Idris Enofe and the other I'm trying to remember who they
are. Yeah, I know. Malik Blade?
Malik Blade.
Wow, this is a real thing. I get them and Private Party mixed up now. Like, name-wise.
Oh.
Because they're both young tag teams. They don't really look alike. But it's like, one's got goofy hair. One of the... Well, the guy who's hurt for a Private Party, he had, like, the blondish hair, too.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. So...
Yeah, I'm terrible at remembering those two... their names. Plus, they'd kind of been off TV for a while, which did not help matters at all. And then they come back on, and it's just like, hey, I'm going to stay shirtless because look at these fucking abs.
Yeah.
And like, be jealous. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I am jealous of your abs, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Statue of David, and they're going to put a trash bag over it. Like, no. Take that shit off there. It's art. It's like, dude, you're young.
Wait until you have to work harder for that.
We would. Oh, you saw Bron Breakker challenge Seth Rollins?
The
title?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Like, wow, really?
He is one where I think you said it last week where it was. They seem to be like, hey, let's see if you can be a heel. And then, like, he murders it, like, a week into being a heel. And it's just like, do we have anything else for this guy? Like, he almost feels like, and I'm going to go with the baseball equivalent here, where it's just like, are you guys just waiting until you can extend his rookie contract another year? And not have to pay his major league time, so you're just sitting on him until the arbitrary date, and then you're gonna call him up because he's that good. He just seems to be in that position where it's just like I guess after I said he lost, I wanted to see what he'd do afterwards, and he's now murdered it for a month, and it's just like okay, like. You don't have anything else to prove. Like, just like...
No.
You have now outgrown NXT. Like, please move along. Thank you. You know what? Him and Dragunov, also going to enjoy that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I guess that could be his out, I suppose, if you want it to be. Losing to Dragunov on his way out, but Dragunov's almost already in that area where it's just like, what does this guy really need to move up to?
Yeah, I mean, they were making rumors of him being the fourth member of Imperium. Because he used to be four.
Oh.
And then with the weird stuff going on with Judgment Day, not saying he'd be in there, but wow. I hope they're not breaking up Judgment Day. That's a mistake. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they did a little hinting, but I'm not too concerned right now on that front.
You know, we'll see. Because they had, you know, they had Finn in the background, like that J.D. McDonough segment, what, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see if that ends up leading somewhere. Because, I mean, that's another one where they had it a couple of weeks ago and they haven't really touched on it since then.
Yeah. Yeah, they just moved on to something else. But I guess if you have a bad match with Dolph Ziggler, you're probably going to have someone backstage going, are we sure about this guy? You know.
Oh, so, boy.
But yeah, we are remiss. I know we got to get out, but we have to mention yet another fantastic match going back to AEW with Orange Cassidy and then this time Swerve Strickland. That shit, I expected Swerve to win. So when he got one of his finishers at the end and Orange kicked out, I popped. I was like, oh, wow. Like, okay, let's keep going. But it's going to be sad when Orange is done because he's going to disappear for a month, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be pretty pretty not fun because that man has led off Dynamite for what feels like 2 months straight now.
Yeah.
And it's just always like, oh, like we get to start this show off with a banger of a match? Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I continue to be impressed. And I think you said it, that was Swerve's best match in AEW.
By miles.
Yeah, he also looks physically imposing now. With like he's on the Montez Ford diet.
Oh. Yeah, he is, I don't know if he's quite on the Montez Ford diet. He's definitely packed on some muscle weight, though.
Yeah, yep.
And yeah, I'm trying to remember if there's something else, because you were talking about on the way out. I feel like we would definitely be remiss to not talk about Sheiky, baby.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Sheik has left this planet, unfortunately, at the age of 81.
So, he's another one like Billy Graham. When we were growing up, he was the tag team guy with Nikolai Volkov.
And
then he became Colonel Adnan? No. General Mustafa?
Oh, you're going to make me pull up his history here, huh?
Right? Because when he turned Iraqi, which is fucking hilarious, because he's Iranian.
Yep.
That was his name? General Mustafa or something?
I'm trying to, Colonel Mustafa.
Colonel. I knew it wasn't General. Because sergeant is higher than colonel, correct?
I believe so.
All right. So
not very good with my military rankings, though. Neither am
I. So I know a 5-star general is very hard to get. So there you go. But, so I was like, he could never be a higher rank than Sergeant Slaughter, but I didn't know much about him until he got, like, the Twitter account, you know, when he was really going to town. And then, like, his documentary about his, like, crack addiction and all this stuff. And that's how I knew him, mostly.
Oh. See, he was one for me that I always remember. That was when yours truly lost his kayfabe cherry.
Oh, Jim Duggan and him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Them smoking pot. Like, because I feel like it happened right before the WWF did what would nowadays definitely be called a house show at the Jaffa Mosque in Altoona. And I feel like they got busted, and it's just like, oh my God, what? The Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan were smoking pot together?
Yeah. Driving together?
Driving together? What is this? Oh, man.
Yeah, I take that back. The first time I saw Bad Guy, Good Guy was British Bulldog and Ron Bass walking into an arena together.
Oh, gosh.
That was mine. And then it was definitely Sheik and Hacksaw, and it was like, this is the guy, he just hit you with a 2x4. Like, what? But it's like, I guess so much of the Iron Sheik for me was the end. And then when he just became, you know, he was just a raving drug lunatic. And, you know, and then however much of it was fake at the end, that's what I remember him for. I don't remember him much for his in-ring stuff. I mean, I know,
you
know, he's the guy that beat Bob Backlund because of nefarious circumstances that lost to Hogan. But it was just him saying Iran number one, Russia number one, America ha pui. That's all I really remember. It's sad he's gone, obviously.
Yeah, I guess his singles run or his singles time was done by the time. Because it's kind of wild, because what did they say? It was 83 here on Wiki that he was the WWF World Heavyweight Champion in 83. Yeah. And, I've got to admit that that was, I don't know if I was watching wrestling at that point, because I might have been popping in. It really wasn't until the later 80s that I remember consistently watching wrestling.
Yeah. Mine was WrestleMania 2, and it was the famous Saturday Night's Main Event where, what's his name? King Kong Bundy smashed Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
In the cage.
Yeah, because that's also my, because that was another one that they did the closed circuit TV at the Jaffa Mosque, yep. And that was the only place to go see WrestleMania 2.
It's so funny. You had a mosque in Altoona, Pennsylvania to begin with, and then they're having wrestling and a closed circuit TV wrestling. Like, it's just, for me, something you just don't associate with a mosque. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I feel like the Shriner. Is it the Shriners? Because what's the...
That's the Funny Hat Club.
Yeah. So it's not like a, you know, like a Arab mosque kind of situation.
Oh, it's not? Oh.
Well, it never felt that way to me, and I'm not getting a good answer here on Wiki. Well,
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I didn't think Shahid would be the better one for this, but I never really pictured a mosque or, like, temple for the Jews. Like,
yeah, well, there was a circus. I forgot, because there was a circus there all the time, too. Like, Jaffa Shriners. Masonic Temple. Okay.
That makes more sense. Yeah, those goofy bastards, those host anything. Okay, yeah, this makes way more sense now.
Yes.
The Masonic Temple's Freemasons, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have no idea what they're doing in there.
No. No, because, Shriners Charitable Arm is the Shriners Hospitals for Children, which are in the right. U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah. And so, they're the guys at the parade in the tiny cars.
Yes.
With, like, the hats.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so it was not, yeah. I was like, hold on, I know that it wasn't that. It was not a Tehran, Iran type of yeah. Mosque.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, no one's protesting this one after 9/11.
No. If they did, it was a very misguided effort.
Yeah, like, guys, the funny hats, like, what are you doing here?
But, yeah, you know what? The other thing about Iron Sheik that I remember, and I think I talked about Chris about this recently, is that I remember him coming back. Just because Scott and I were out watching some Monday Night Football,
yep.
And you started freaking out. You're like, oh my God, the Iron Sheik is back. And I'm like, huh? Yes. Like, really? And, like, you called me back to your bedroom when we were all living together. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, weirdly enough, like, even though I didn't really see that angle all that much, it did get, that's what got me back into wrestling. So there, it's kind of funny. Like, I did not remember the Iron Sheik very much, but still the tag team stuff was super memorable with him and Nikolai Volkov, right. Just yeah. Because the tag team scene was just better at that time. Vince did not hate the tag team division then. It happened sometime after that he started to hate the tag team division.
That's just so weird to me. Like, he doesn't, like, Vince's thing was like, that's pro wrestling crap. It's like, but that's what made you all your money. And then it turned into, like, your entertainment thing. You know what I mean? Like, you fundamentally changed what you were doing because you didn't like it, but it was making you a lot of money. Like, it's just weird, but that's for another time. And let's not forget. By the way, I have no idea why he came back on that Raw. I have no clue.
Oh, because, and that was the one thing that when I did stop up at Josh's, like, they just threw on some old stuff from Peacock. And it was from, 97 there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is the angle that he came back for that Jeremy called me into the room for. It was a later date because I think it would have been when I was in Florence when this episode happened.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, if he had just come back in October or whatever it was when you called me back to your room, then, you know, if it was like June or like, oh, no, I think it was March of the following year. I'm like, well, A, it makes sense why I didn't watch this because I didn't have cable in a foreign country. But it was just like, oh my God, this is a continuation of whatever angle kind of started back then. So, yeah, that was kind of, the Iron Sheik definitely has left a legacy on my wrestling watching. Yeah. Is a general hole.
Remember, he dumped Marsh Slaughter to win the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17?
Yes.
Yes, I think that was his last appearance, I think.
Yep.
He may have made others, but...
Definitely his last in-ring appearance.
I'm not joking.
He beat Earthquake?
I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden, the couch started vibrating. It was just like out of the blue.
We may have had our first earthquake on the Stunt Granny Audio podcast, sir.
Dude, South Carolina's gotten so many in the last year. And, like, I remember working here one time, and, like, it was a Sunday morning. And I'm like, I feel weird. And it turns out we had an earthquake. But I think it just happened again.
Yeah, that is one that I always remember the one when we were still in school.
What was that?
It was either late 98 or early 99 there, right before graduation.
Oh.
And it was like, whatever, it was like a 3-point something at most. Yeah. Like, it was not like the earthquake as people think of it. Because I remember going to myself, I'm like, oh, well, is someone moving in? That really seemed like a lot of vibrations happening. Like, there has to be a big truck out here. Walked outside, looked around, didn't really see anything. I'm like, huh, that was strange. And just kind of went about my business after that. And then the news that night's like, oh, yeah, we had like a 3.2. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe that would explain what happened this afternoon.
I'll have to watch the news, I guess. Unless I just shifted and I just didn't realize it, but that was weird. I guess that's just a way of saying, hey, we got to get out of here.
I know that you cracked one ahead of time. What is the Beltane beer down there in Charlotte?
It's Emerald Curtain from Red Clay. I'm still going through stuff. excuse me. It is a kiwi, cucumber, and lime cider.
And, ooh.
Yes, very good.
Well, yeah. I talked about them on Tuesday because I had the cranberry crumble. On Tuesday.
Nice. Good one.
Yeah, it was extremely tasty. Also going to talk highly about Jackie O's Cosmic Treasures Hazy Double IPA, Citra, Nelson, and Galaxy Hops. Jackie O's out of Athens, Ohio, but now they have a monstrous bar and I think also brewery here in Columbus. That is, quite hopping most of the time these days. And good on them because they make fantastic beer. This Cosmic Treasures is one of a number of IPAs that are extremely tasty from the company. And this is one that I think just this is the first time having this one. And yep, hazy IPAs up my alley. Double hazy IPA, I am there for it. That's a lot of alcohol for a small can here. And because I'm trying to, they don't, oh, it's just 9%, so it's not too wild. But it's still a pretty solid ABV there. Yeah, so if you can get your hands on Jackie O's beer, I would highly, highly suggest it. That is the choice from Matt DeFrango 11. His was from Matt Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.